Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I just have to share with you what Michaela Gordon just said to me 4 seconds before we went on air. So, welcome to the Morning Beat, by the way.
Good morning.
So we went to dinner. I went to dinner last night with my partner from our anniversary, our 8th anniversary. We got reservations at Malibu at Mastro's Ocean Club.
Delish.
Amazing. They've now moved outdoors. They have a huge tent right, like literally you're sitting on a cliff in a parking lot overlooking the ocean. So we went for sunset, 5 p.m. dinner because our hours here are so crazy.
Of course.
We couldn't go any later. Later than that. And we had oysters. I love, love, love raw oysters. And I had some last night. And I was telling Michaela, and she goes, Lisa and I, on one of our very first dates, we got raw oysters, and then I threw out all the shells down the trash chute.
We lived on the 12th floor.
It is in Vegas?
In Vegas.
And she said the next day, the entire building smelled like hot oyster trash.
Lisa texts me, and she goes, you better come home, because this whole smells like oysters. And I was like, well, what was I supposed to do with them? She's like, I don't know, but the whole building smells like oysters.
You put them in a plastic bag, and you tie it, and you seal it, and then you double bag it if you
got
have to.
Got it.
I've learned that mistake from a couple of things.
Oy,
making
it was awful.
Salmon, any type of, because we do like lobster tails and crab legs at home sometimes that we get from the store, oysters, any type of seafood, or chicken. If you ever have made raw chicken, do not just throw that in the trash. Tie that up, seal it, and throw it away.
Well, I had this whole new thing. Now I like shrimp
cocktail. Our
poor
listeners right now, this is how they're waking up. They're like,
good morning.
Listening to us talk about hot oyster trash.
Facts. Facts. You need to know them. I need to know them.
Well,
we've been doing shrimp cocktail lately because I've been on this new diet.
What, you like shrimp cocktail?
I love shrimp
Ooh,
cocktail.
So do I. My partner does not.
Oh, I'm obsessed with it. So Lisa's
He only likes hot shrimp, he tells me.
No, I like cold shrimp.
Got it.
But Lisa said, don't make this mistake again. When you are done, put them in a bag, go outside, and throw them away.
Michaela, we should go to Mastro's on the ocean and get shrimp cocktail together, just the two of us.
I would love that.
They have a lot of two-top tables there available.
Just two.
Justin's crying.
I know.
Our producer, Justin.
Well, here's the thing. She needs to pay off the dang
Okay, so
bet.
I feel like we need to bring this.
Yeah, we can bring it up.
Okay. So before I was ever here, months Correct. And months ago, in the first iteration of the Morning Beat.
Totally.
That nobody remembers.
Nobody.
We've erased all history of
it. It's actually not even a show anymore.
Yeah,
so the bet sort of just kind of deleted itself.
So apparently these two made a bet, and the loser had to take the others to Mastro's, which
right.
is like the seafood and a steakhouse here in Los Angeles. And Michaela lost the bet.
Yes.
Well, Michaela thinks that because of the pandemic and it's changed everybody's finances, we took a pay cut, did all these things, and we've all struggled, that she no longer has to pay up that debt. Do you guys think she should pay the debt? That's
I
what we
think
want to know.
That I don't have to pay the debt until we're out of a pandemic. Because here's why. Justin wouldn't understand this because he's married to an attorney. However,
first, he's not married. Second of all,
well,
continue.
They would have been married this weekend.
They would have been married this weekend, yeah.
But listen, my partner got furloughed, everyone got a pay cut. I'm not taking a bet to Mastro's.
Michaela, what are you looking at reservations for this weekend?
I'm going to take Lisa to Mastro's.
1,000%. 1,000%. And also, I do recall, to be fair, in Justin's defense, I think you did start going back on the bet before the pandemic ever happened. I think my first week here, you're like, nope, not happening.
Well, here's what happened. When we did the bet, I was still driving to Vegas. I was doing my residency.
Oh, you had a week. You had a little extra side money.
So, no, I was not even in town. I would do Monday through Friday here at Channel Q. I'd drive home Friday back to Vegas, do my show Friday, Saturday
But you were
night.
Still making residency money.
Yeah, but I wasn't here. So then when I came back, things got just super crazy and I was going to fulfill it, of course.
We should make this a full segment, like paying up on debt.
Yeah,
bets.
Paying up on bets.
Let's talk about it tomorrow.
Let's do that.
Okay, perfect.
While you give us news on the beat, I'm going to sit over here and look up reservations for you and Justin to go to Masters. Okay,
you got it, babe. Go. You're going to take them, and I'll send you guys on my dime. All right. The coronavirus may have been lurking in the U.S. as early as December, according to a new study. That's a full month earlier than believed by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The study found a significant increase in hospital visits at that time by patients who reported respiratory illnesses. And now we may be living under the shadow of COVID-19 for another year or more. The chief science officer at the World Health Organization said it could be 2022 before the world could begin thinking about returning to pre-COVID life. A quick coronavirus vaccine check. The National Institutes of Health has expressed concern over a potential side effect in drug maker AstraZeneca's vaccine trial after a participant suffered spinal cord damage. The FDA is weighing whether to resume the trial in the U.S. I'll tell you what, I remember last year a lot of people got really sick during Christmas, and everyone just thought it was the flu.
Yep.
Everyone did not know what it was.
It's called COVID-19 because they first found it in 2019.
Mm.
Not necessarily here in the United States. We didn't think. Apparently, we did know more than we thought we knew.
Yeah. Well, that's what we know now. Now, let's get into a little weather. It's going to be a high of 75 in New York, 91 in Los Angeles, 102 in Vegas, 109 in Palm Springs, 93 in Houston, and 84 in Kansas City. Now, give us a vibe of the day.
This vibe goes out to anybody who's going through it right now, which is a lot of us. The universe has an incredible plan for you. You will overcome all of your challenges.
That's a really great vibe.
It's going to happen. Hang
yes.
in there.
Yes. Okay. Coming up, a big oops. Find out what a little girl brought during her homeschool virtual show and tell her mother's mortified. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
I'd like to introduce our listeners this morning to a young woman by the name of Penny. She was attending.
A star.
She is a star, and she looks like a little mini you in this photo. She was.
We're probably the same height, that's why.
Well, yeah, she's actually your height now, but she's not a full grown human like you're supposed to be. So she was attending school in Illinois. She's a second grader via Zoom, as many kids are now doing, right?
Oh my gosh.
Her mother apparently has a liquor cabinet. And in that liquor cabinet, there's something that her daughter also seems to enjoy. Not in the way you might think, though, because her daughter Penny was asked to bring something that smells good for show and tell. So she went into her mom's liquor cabinet. What do you think she grabbed?
Who knows? Nothing smells good that's alcohol.
There's one thing that smells good that everybody listening right now has probably had at some point in their lives. It goes great with pineapple juice. You can make a pina colada with it.
Rum!
Yes, Malibu rum.
Oh my God, let me tell you something.
Malibu in specific.
When I first started drinking, I could not take alcohol, so I would do Malibu rum and Diet Coke.
Everybody
and it
starts
tasted
there.
Like a Coke Slurpee.
Of course.
Oh my God, it was so good.
My teenage self drinking illegally loved Malibu rum.
Loved Malibu rum.
So good. It makes you feel like you're on vacation.
Oh yeah.
Well, her daughter,
and it does smell good.
It does smell good because it smells like tanning lotion.
Yeah, it or does.
Like,
uh-huh, you're on vacation.
Whatever, yeah. So her daughter has this big bottle of rum about the size of her body, holding it up to show her classmates. She's wearing the cutest little pink headphones. We've got the photo on our website. Head over to wearechannelq.com. Check it out. She is adorable. But I will tell you, this is not the first time that she's gone viral over Zoom. So not that long ago, her mom, Megan, was passing through the room while one of her children, another one of her children, was on a Zoom conference with school and had their phone and walked over to their mom to say, hey, how do I turn this screen off? Turns the screen to the mom who has her head wrapped
after
a shower, and that's it. And so her mom has now gone viral twice for reasons that are just too humiliating. I'll tell you this. My partner, Emil, he's been working from home since March. He works for Clever News. It's an online, basically entertainment news station on YouTube. And he was having a conference call with Hearst Media. Now, Hearst owns Cosmopolitan. They own, William Randolph Hearst.
Yeah.
They own major magazines across the country. So he's on a company-wide Zoom based out of New York City. And I walk by out the hallway from taking a nap, because sometimes I go home and take a nap after work because we get here really early, and these raggedy, awful old boxer briefs, Calvin Klein, bright neon yellow. And this is like pre-workout AJ too. So this was like a couple months ago when I was a little
Cheez-Its,
like,
and wine.
Yeah, Cheez-Its and wine AJ. That version of AJ walks right past at 6 foot five, his whole Zoom. And I had no idea he was on the Zoom.
You were like, no!
I'm like, turn your computer just 2 inches to the left.
Well, this recently happened to a friend of mine. She's really great and super personable. And she's like great on Zooms. And so you love her. She's very likable. So she thought it was done. And she goes, oh God. Thank God that's effing over. And she didn't click out yet. And they were like, huh? And she was like, ah! Like,
isn't that the
wanted
worst?
To squirm in her pants. I'll tell you what, Zoom is a whole entity. This mom right here is a mother of six. And she.
That's why she's going viral so much.
She said, I wish I wouldn't have gone all balls out when having children because of the Malibu rum and the towel situation. She went on to post the towels where you could buy them after she went viral. They're from Costco. Such a mom. I think this is amazing. Listen, kids are crazy.
Kids are wild.
You don't know. I feel like you want to say, oh yeah, like I set my niece up or I set the kids up to do something, but that you don't set them up. They're insane. They just say whatever comes out of their mouth.
Well, because here's the thing. That her daughter, Penny, probably at some point, because my initial thought was like, ah, it's a setup. She's trying to go viral.
No.
But then I was like, listen, her daughter, Penny, probably at some point was like, Mom, why do you keep pouring in that glass? And she asked her to take a smell of it. I remember being that kid.
Yeah.
I used to smell things like that when I was a kid. My mom would put Bailey's. Well, not usually Bailey's.
Oh, Bailey's was good.
She usually used Carol Ann's. It's a couple dollars cheaper. But she would put Carol Ann's in her coffee. And I would always want to smell it. And then eventually, when I was old enough, I would start drinking it.
Listen, my niece told me the other day when she was here, and this was not a setup. I said, you need to come over here and stop being a bad girl. And she goes, not today, Satan. And I was like, what did you just say to me? She's four. You can't set these kids up. They're just insane. And virtual school is reminding us of that.
Too good.
Now, coming up, sure, PPE has been hard to find. Why not jack up the price by making them designer? How much would you pay for safety and fashion? We have that story. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Who cares about Derek Zoolander anyway? The man has only one look, for Christ's sake. Blue steel, Ferrari, La Tigra, they're the same face. Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I invented the piano key necktie. I invented it.
All right, Will Ferrell, you need to calm down because I will say this. Derek Zoolander does have many looks, many faces. I've actually dressed up as Derek Zoolander. I've done blue steel.
I love that movie. I love Ben Stiller. I love Will Ferrell.
It's the only one I could really pull off with a lot of help from a makeup department and costume designers. But I looked really good. If you want to see that photo, go on
Maybe
my Instagram.
Couldn't turn left, but everything else, you were golden.
I cannot turn left, honey. and also, another direction I could not turn is into a Louis Vuitton store to buy a piece of PPE that costs $1,000. I'm talking about a face shield. So they've now designed a luxury face shield for $1,000. And here's the thing. I mean, this girl in this photo looks kind of fierce, to be honest.
Yes!
She's got, like, the LV logo across her forehead.
Oh, yeah, the logo's very clear.
And then it trims out the edge of the face shield. But I just don't know that I can drop it. It's actually $961, so it's not fully $1,000. Plus tax, of course, it'd be over $1,000, but do you think people are actually going to buy this kind of stuff?
I would buy it 100%. Listen, we have to have them. We have to protect ourselves. I'm tired of the masks, even though you can wash them and reuse them. You're breathing in your own breath.
Yeah,
it's kind of disgusting.
But also, face shields are not a replacement. They won't let you wear just, like, if you go on an airplane, they won't let you just wear a face shield.
Yeah, but you could put a Fierce mask on then and have this face shield. It's like the new bag.
Okay.
It's like the new accessory. And I would rather spend good money on one really Fierce face shield. I would absolutely spend it, but I'm that kind of girl. I really love how it looks.
To be fair,
I will go to downtown LA and find the
fake
one.
That's what I was going. Okay, that's where I was going with this because I was going to say
$900. I won't pay.
Yeah,
but I'll go downtown and get the knock
for $19.
You know it, baby.
In the back of a van.
You know what? I've never been one to spend money because I bought my first Louis bag and it got stolen out of my car and I was devastated.
Oh, I feel you.
Melted.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have the disposable income, or if that's something you care about, yeah, it would drop $900 on that.
I remember the first time I got nice sunglasses. I spent a few hundred dollars on a pair of Roberto Cavallis when I worked at the Cheesecake Factory in Columbus, Ohio. Why I was spending hundreds of dollars on sunglasses while I was working as a server, I don't know. But I wore them to work one time. I was working on the patio. I set them down for a moment and somebody stole them. Never again did I spend that kind of money on sunglasses.
I know, it's awful.
But I can't, a face shield might be a little bit different. I haven't done the face shield look just yet. I will say those little blue ones with the visor, those look terrible.
Well, those are ugly.
Yeah, so is there like a happy medium? Where's the gap of face shields?
The Louis Vuitton.
Or the American Eagle of face shields. Like, where's that middle road? Express even. Like, something somewhere in the middle. Not Louis Vuitton. I mean, that's $1,000. That's a lot of money.
I don't know. I would do it. I would like it. It also goes from when you go into the sun, it also works as like sunglasses. So the sun's not directly in your eye, which I also appreciate.
That's nice. However, I do like a little bit of tan on my face every now and then. So yeah. Does it stop the vitamin D too? Like what else does it do?
No, they're like sunglasses.
I think they need like windshield wipers. What if it rains outside?
Just bring Windex.
Or there's a lot of ash right now. You can't get Windex right now. There's a Windex shortage. Have you noticed that?
Use Lysol wipes.
I haven't been able to find Windex. There's no Lysol wipes. There's a lot of problems right now in the world.
Clean it.
Can't get paper towels anymore.
Oh yeah,
we
just
have one
did that
roll
story.
In here. There's also another. There also is a man from India who actually commissioned a gold face mask. How much do you think this thing costs?
For a gold face mask,
yeah, gold.
Thousands,
$4,000.
No,
just for the face mask with ugly little straps on the side. We're not talking about a face shield. We're just talking about the face mask covering the nose and the mouth.
Let me see. Show me.
$4,000 for that.
Oh,
thing.
It's hideous looking.
Horrendous.
Ew! It looks like the gong.
Oh yeah.
I would just want to go hit him in the face with a toothpick.
I wouldn't do that.
Bong.
Also, you might need something more substantial.
If you had a Louis Vuitton face shield, I wouldn't be able to get to the mask.
Oh, wow, Michaela. You're making
a
case
right
now. So I know what to get you for Christmas if this thing is still around.
Yeah, just take me down to Santiali and get me the cheap one. It's all I want. I love it because I'll probably lose it either way. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, it's our segment. We're checking in. It's Wednesday. Last night was AJ's anniversary. And I spoke with HRC Fertility for the first time with Lisa last night about babies.
Whoa.
We're talking about it coming up next.
It's time for one of our favorite segments called Checking In, where we just take stock of how we're doing, what we're up to. I know, Michaela, you had a big day yesterday with your partner. Is there a baby in the future? What's going on?
Well, you know, we've been working with HRC Fertility, and so we had to have like the big guy conversation
Uh-oh.
Yesterday.
That's adult.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go?
You know what? It got very real.
Yeah.
And, you know, we say, like, we want a baby. We're very excited. We're going to start preparing. And then we had the conversation yesterday, and it got so real, and it got me, like, totally in my feels. And Lisa, of course, is, like, the constant grown-up in every situation. But, you know, it's different for me because I don't just get pregnant. Like, I have mm-hmm. to go on hormones. I have to do all these things to start the freezing of the eggs process.
Right.
And it could last 8 to 10 weeks, and you gain weight, and your hormones are out of control, and you have to be like,
I can't wait.
I said, Lisa, I don't know if I'm emotionally stable. But it was amazing. And it's exciting, you know, because it went from being just a thought that we had to something that's like really reality that
right.
could really happen. And it was beautiful. So we're starting our journey and we're really excited. But on the same hand, you celebrated your 8th anniversary last
sure
night.
Did.
And you did not go to Robata Ginia's.
We did not go to Robata Ginia. Okay, so there's this restaurant down the street
we
called Robata Ginia, and I'm obsessed with it. My partner and I go all the time. I took Michaela there a few weeks ago.
They're it one was of
the,
so good.
Well, they're one of the first restaurants that figured out how to handle the pandemic. So they started putting tables out on the sidewalk with these big plastic walls, dividers in between each table, and everybody wears, they take your temperature, they're super safe, protocol, whatever. So we usually go there. And I brought it up the other day. I'm like, so we're just going to Robata? Is that what we're doing for anniversary? He's like, no, let's go somewhere else. I was like, whoa. Okay, 8 years in, we've still got a little romance.
Little
love left in the tank. And so I was so tired yesterday. I got a workout in after work. And I was like, I'm trying to make reservations. Let's go out to Malibu. Maybe we'll sit on the ocean and go to Mastro's Ocean Club. Or go to Nobu, somewhere fancy on the water that's now has outdoor seating again. The last time we went was for my partner's 30th birthday back in January. His mom was here. I treated them to dinner. She still talks about it like it's the greatest night of her entire life. She says it was
so
the
sweet.
Greatest blessing. We saw the sunset over the ocean, the dolphins in the water. It's a whole thing. But I tried to get reservations yesterday, which is, of course, I'm the type of person who waits till the day of, and there were none available. So I was like, I got to go to bed. I'm really tired. I have to take a nap. So just figure it out. He's like, I got it, boo. Don't worry about it. And this is not the guy I started dating 8 years ago. I had to make every decision. But yesterday he took care of it. He got us reservation at 5 p.m. because we had to be up. We had to be here in studio at 5 a.m. So we went to an early dinner, and it was wonderful. We sat in a tent in a parking lot, basically, but on a cliff overlooking the ocean.
But it's so beautiful.
And it was stunning. The food was amazing. They've really adapted. It does give me hope to see how different restaurants and businesses have adapted due to COVID-19.
Yeah. You know what's crazy about that place? I was singing there. This is how crazy
what,
life
you sang
is.
There?
I sang there.
What?
Right before I got my residency in Vegas. And they were like, actually, we don't like your voice. We don't want you to sing here anymore. What? And I was like, what? I was devastated. I was like, how is this happening to me? I ended up immediately booking another gig, which then sent me to Vegas, which then got me my residency and how I met Lisa.
Okay, well, I'm going to say this. You probably wore a dress with a lot of cleavage, didn't you?
You know I did.
It's not really their vibe out there.
It's like before I got my implants
taken out. It's very country club. It's very like
old
white people.
No, you know me. I was like very Jersey Shore, sitting on the piano.
Although I will say, as we were leaving last night, because it's a very, I mean, it's pretty bougie white people out in Malibu,
yeah,
right?
Uh-huh.
And this whole group came in, this fierce, fierce man with turquoise hair and this little silk outfit and all of his like his little black queens and their
yes.
little tight little dresses and boobies poofed up and hair and makeup for days. I was like, okay, they're my people.
Were people losing their minds?
Yeah, people were looking and I was and they were loving
it.
They did a whole photo shoot right next to us. And
oh,
we're like,
I
come on,
it.
Queens, come on, live.
I love
so
it. I know
fun.
They were a little bougie, but it's so fun to do that.
Diversity's fun. Come on.
You know it is. All right, you guys, well, coming up, Sammy Grapate joins us to talk about more audio that has been released by Bob Woodward, and we cover the ABC Town Hall. We'll be back coming up next.
Remember that album, Ray of Light?
Light.
For me, that's when Madonna was at her absolute prime.
Of course.
Like, that's when I was reintroduced to her. She sort of made a comeback with that album. You know, she's going to be actually producing, I believe, and directing possibly her biopic.
I know, because a friend of mine was stressing out. They're apparently holding auditions already.
Oh, wow.
And she was like having a meltdown before she went into audition. Obviously, everybody would want to play the iconic role of Madonna.
Well, she's co-written. It's been co-written with Diablo Cody, who wrote Juno. Remember Ellen Page years ago, and she became a star from that film.
Yeah, but you know what I think she could have done very easily is just had her daughter Lourdes play her.
Right?
Like,
she
just
looks so
skip
much
it.
Like her.
Lourdes is beautiful.
But here's my
though.
Concern, though. Is Lourdes a better actor than her mother? Because her mom struggles with acting roles sometimes. I'll just say that.
To be fair, she put a lot of work into Evita.
Yes.
So much that she came out with a different accent after the movie.
So I kept it.
And yeah, she was like, Madonna. And we're like, what?
Like, are you?
And then married Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
And then we're like, she's a Spice Girl.
Sort of British for a little bit.
That was a thing.
Yeah.
And now she's recovering from COVID.
Well, listen, if this keeps her off social media and makes her stop posting weird videos about, you know, the pandemic, then kudos to her. But I'm excited about this. I will definitely watch this.
Yeah, I will too. I think so.
All right, coming up this hour, we're joined by our political expert, Samuel Garrett Pate. Bob Woodward keeps releasing these tapes. And if he's already dumping these tapes, I feel like he's got a lot more, and he's going to keep releasing them all the way through Election Day, November 3rd. So we're going to talk about some of this audio, also this ABC town hall last night that Donald Trump took place in. Voters took him to task. And Samuel Garrett Pate helps us break it all down in about 15 minutes, so make sure you stick around for those conversations. Michaela, what do you have for us in News on the Beat?
All right, well, officials in Louisville, Kentucky have reached a $12 million settlement with the family of Breonna Taylor in its wrongful death lawsuit. The city has also agreed to sweeping police reforms as part of the negotiation. It's one of the largest settlements linked to a police shooting in a historic move for a city marked by grief and unrest. However, activists are quick to point out that it does not mean justice has been served. And I completely agree. I was talking about this with Lisa yesterday. I said, Lisa, if somebody came in here and they shot you and you did nothing, you were working all night during COVID as a frontline worker, I would seek so much justice. And she said, well, I would hope that you would take the $12 million, though, and better yourself, better your circumstances, bring attention, and if you wanted to still fight for justice. And I said, yeah, but part of me feels like that $12 million is hush money. Like, just arrest the officers.
Well, Breonna Taylor's family sounds like they're not hushing anytime soon. They're
going
to keep going. And it's interesting to me is that the city says they won't take any sort of accountability for the actions of their police force, yet they'll try to shut this thing down
with $12 million
of taxpayer dollars.
Come on. All right, well, into a little weather. It's going to be a high of 107 in Phoenix today, 75 in Seattle, 67 in Atlanta, 76 in Baltimore, and 73 in Buffalo. Now hit us with a vibe of the day.
The universe has an incredible plan for you. You will overcome all of your challenges. Hey, believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself.
You got this.
All right, you guys. Coming up, Samuel Garrett-Pate joins us to talk more about the audio that has been released by Bob Woodward. And we cover the ABC Town Hall. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. If you've missed any of our conversations this morning, we just had a two-part conversation with Samuel Garrett-Pate, one of our favorite political experts, talking about these Bob Woodward tapes, Donald Trump's town hall last night on ABC with George Stephanopoulos. If you missed those conversations, download the Radio.com app. Listen to our show as a podcast. Each and every show does get turned into a podcast as soon as we go off the air every day. It's a great way to catch up, share with your friends and family. Just download the Radio.com app. Take us with you on your mobile device. Now, it's time for a segment that I love called What's Poppin'.
Yes.
And in this segment, one of your favorite celebrities of all time, Michaela Gordon, what's poppin'?
I'm so excited about this. Okay, so Lifetime has announced the cast for their first holiday film with LGBTQ plus leads. So that's a big
deal. Finally, yes.
Finally, it's called The Christmas Setup. Now, the TV network announced that a real life couple, Ben Lewis, will play Blake and Blake Lee. Sorry, Ben Lewis and Blake Lee will play Hugo and Patrick, their love interest in the movie, also in real life. But guess who will be playing their mother?
Who?
Fran Drescher.
Of course.
Of course, Fran Drescher would be the mother in the first LGBTQ film on Lifetime.
So cute.
But it looks so cute. Now, of course, the plot is like the same. The Christmas Setup follows the story of a New York lawyer who heads to Milwaukee with his best friend.
Every film.
To spend the holidays with his mother, who is also in charge of the local Christmas celebrations. I love that Fran Drescher is in charge of the Christmas celebrations when she's so Jewish. Like, they couldn't give her a
Hanukkah.
They didn't want to just like add that in there for fun.
Look, she's collecting a paycheck, honey. You would do the same thing.
Listen, I would. I'm going to do it tomorrow.
You've done much more for much less.
I'm doing much less tomorrow.
You are.
I'm not saying anything. But I will say that in true Fran Drescher form, she's playing like a total yenta and matchmakes her son.
Wait, what's a yenta?
A yenta is like a matchmaker, like in like it's like Yiddish for like.
Okay.
It's Yiddish for like a matchmaker.
I grew up
Catholic. Total yenta.
I don't know these things.
Well, that's what she is, and she's matchmaking the loves, and it's going to be so cute. I can't wait to see it. I've been missing seeing her so much.
No, I'm super excited. Ben's appeared on Arrow. That's what he's most known for. Also, Blake, his partner, Parks and Recreation, one of my favorite shows. He was on there. I am excited about this. I think it makes sense first and foremost that they're using an actual couple because of COVID-19. Which tells me there might be a little smooching going on in this film because they want to make sure that they're safe. Also, I'm so glad, because we talked about this a couple months ago when Lifetime announced they were doing their first holiday film with LGBTQ leads. I'm really glad they didn't call it like a Rainbow Christmas or some stupid. It's just another generic title like all the rest.
And it's a generic plot. Like,
yes.
It's just all very basic, except
like
with Fran Drescher and
the owner of a gay bar falls in love with his go-go dancer, or like whatever.
And his busybody mother
over the holidays
makes
and they have
it
to
happen.
Raise money to save the club or something like that. At least this is like generic.
Due to COVID-19.
Totally.
All right, well, this What's Poppin' is brought to you by NAMI Orange County's Loud and Proud Virtual Music and Art Festival. Happening this Saturday, September 19th. And for more information, go to namioc.org/loudproud. I don't know. I felt like saying it like that.
How do you roll your R's like that?
Loud proud.
Can you speak Spanish?
I did just write an English-Spanish song, so
How'd you write the Spanish part?
Google Translate.
Can't wait to hear it.
No, thank God. One of my really dear friends is Spanish. And so I said, can you help me? And he was like, yep, I gotcha. Thank you. So thank you, God. All right, you guys, coming up in our next hour, we have a lot going on. Can't find it on our little calendar. Here we go. Oh, yeah, our big question of the day.
Oh, yes.
Open marriages. Would you do it?
Yeah.
We took this to the gram. I got a lot of answers. Some I was really surprised by.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it coming up next.
There it is. Halfway through the week, Michaela Gordon.
Yes, Lord.
Love this song. makes me happier. I get a little boost of energy every time Justin plays
this. I do too. I'm like, we are halfway there.
And wherever you are, you're probably not halfway through your workday yet just because you don't work weird hours like we do.
Totally.
I almost said the A word right there. I almost did it, Justin. But it's hump day. We're halfway there, you guys.
It is hump day, babe.
We're thriving.
Thriving.
We're also halfway through September already, which is really weird. We're on the second half of
September
now.
Me and Lisa were looking to watch Hocus Pocus last night just to get in a vibe. And then we found Ace Ventura instead, so we watched that.
Also similar.
Scary in its own right. I haven't seen Ace Ventura Pet Detective in a couple years.
When he grabs his butt cheeks and talks.
Oh, solo mio.
So many good films to watch this time of year. Although I will say that my partner, he wants to watch movies like Hocus Pocus, uh-huh. Twitches, apparently, which is a thing. Tia and Tamara Mowry, a Disney movie years ago.
Yeah.
They're twin witches.
Yes.
He's been trying to get me to watch this for about 8 years. But when it comes time for Halloween, for me, I want to watch Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, Scream, horror films.
I was on Netflix last night because we already put our fall decorations up.
Wait, you were
up.
On it or you were watching it?
I was on Netflix looking for scary movies.
Oh, you weren't like actually, oh, I thought, because you're a star, so sometimes you do appear in things.
That, you know what? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Good point.
Putting it out there.
Well, we put our fall decorations up yesterday because I was like, I've had enough.
I saw in your Insta stories.
Yeah, I need joy. So we put them up.
I think you put out a fake pumpkin this weekend while your niece was there too. I think I saw that in the background.
I gave her, so this is actually, Lisa told me this is bad luck. You're not actually supposed to get pumpkins and put them on your front porch. It brings in like bad energy. So I've never done it after that. Yeah, it's whatever. It's Lisa told me that. I don't know when she told me that a couple
Lisa
years
said
ago.
It.
Listen, Lisa's daddy. If Lisa said it, I'm listening.
Wait, can jack-o'-lanterns go outside? Can they be carved outside?
I think it can't be a real pumpkin of any type. On your front porch.
It's a lot of tradition you're crashing right now.
Well, too bad. They got to go.
I'm carving one. So, I'm going to put it on your porch every night.
I'll
now until Halloween.
I'll literally kick it.
Your shoe will get messy.
I will kick it in the middle of my street. I will smash pumpkins.
You're so aggressive.
I'm smashing pumpkins. I'm the band.
You're now a band from the 90s.
I did. I put out a gold pumpkin and my niece loved it. She thought it was so great. But we did it because I was like, I've had enough. I just need some joy. So we wanted to watch a Halloween movie yesterday, but we watched Ace Ventura. Still brought joy.
You want to know a fun fact? My first concert ever? Smashing Pumpkins.
No, it wasn't.
I swear to God, back in college. Yes, they performed in Columbus, I think. We went and saw them.
It was meant to be, this conversation.
Well, coming up in about 15 minutes, we're answering a question that we posed on social media yesterday. We got a lot of responses from you. This idea of open relationships. Would you ever open your relationship? They feel common amongst gay men in particular, I know. I don't know what it's like for lesbians. I know my straight friends back home, my family friends, they think it's the most insane thing in the world.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to share some of those social media responses in just a little bit. Is monogamy a thing of the past? Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Okay.
But before we get there, how about some news on the beat?
Well, for the first time in its history, the Academy of Country Music Awards is coming to Nashville, airing tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on CBS. Three famed Nashville venues will serve as hosts for the 55th annual awards show, the Ryman Auditorium, Bluebird Cafe, and Grand Ole Opry House. Now, the move comes after the Academy was forced to postpone its 2020 ceremony, originally planned for April 5th in Las Vegas. Due to COVID-19 pandemic, the show will host a slew of country music A-listers, including Miranda Lambert, Tim McGraw, Luke Combs, and Maren Morris. I love her.
She's so great.
Oh, my God. That whole album is so good.
She's also one of the best interviews you could ever ask for.
Is she?
So kind. I've interviewed her a few times.
And Keith Urban is slated to host the show. I'll tell you what, and a lot of people don't know this about me. I love country music.
You kind of started in country a little bit. Didn't you do a country reality show years ago, sort of?
I didn't start in country, but I almost moved to Nashville to do Southern Rock.
Yes, that's right.
And then I worked with, what's his name? Big and Rich, John Rich.
Oh, yeah.
And it was amazing. And then it didn't work out because I'm an Italian Jew. And they were like,
I hosted the Academy of Country Music Awards red carpet before. And I got to work with like Dustin Lynch and Lindsay L and some really great artists. Jesse James
Decker.
That's
really cool.
Yeah. And I will tell you something about country music. I didn't grow up liking it that much because I thought it was a little bit, as a gay man growing up in a small town, I felt not very welcomed by the country music industry. It's a lot different than it used to be. Nashville's very different. The entire industry has changed so much. There's so much more. Just inclusion, not the diversity we need just yet, but inclusion in the community. And they are some of the kindest people you'll ever interview in your life. Oh, Keith Urban hosting the thing, the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, the nicest. Yeah. The nicest. All right, well, let's get into a little weather, shall we? It's going to be a...
Oh, God, you don't know which voice from now until Halloween.
It's going to be a hot one today. It's going to be 82 in Chicago. It's going to be 82 in Chicago, 78 in Cleveland, 84 in St. Louis, 80 in Pittsburgh, and 78 in Norfolk. Now, hit us with the vibe of the day.
The universe has an incredible plan for you. You will overcome all of your challenges. So whatever you're going through today, just hang in there. Today's a new day. Tomorrow's a new day. Just keep plugging away.
That's right. All right, you guys, well, we posed the question, open marriages, would you do it? And why, if so? We have some of your answers and, of course, our own answers. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
It's been a wild week as we're less than 2 months from the election, November 3rd. President Trump back at it again. These Bob Woodward tapes just seem to keep coming. There's so much audio to dig through. So we thought we'd get our dear friend and political expert Samuel Garrett Pate on the line to help us do so. Sam, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thanks, Sam.
Of course. Happy to.
Let's kick it off with this audio of Bob Woodward talking to Donald Trump about how contagious the coronavirus actually is.
And Bob, it's so easily transmissible, you wouldn't even believe it.
I know.
I mean, you can be in the room. I was in the White House a couple of days ago, a meeting of 10 people in the Oval Office, and a guy sneezed innocently, not a horrible, you know, yes. Just a sneeze. The entire room bailed out, okay, including me, by the way.
Okay, so Sam, in any other presidency, that one piece of audio could be so damning that the president might be dead in the water. It's just one of many pieces of audio, and it seems to not be affecting Trump right now. What's your take?
I don't know that it's not affecting him. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as there grows to be more and more coverage of the fact that not only did the president fail to properly respond to the coronavirus pandemic, and as a result, 200,000 Americans have died, but he knew that he was failing. Mm-hmm. He knew that he was downplaying it. He said he was downplaying it. Now, last night he had a town hall in Pennsylvania where he said that he was actually playing it up. But Bob Woodward isn't just saying that Donald Trump said he was downplaying it. Bob Woodward has tapes of Donald Trump saying that he downplayed it. We know that he downplayed it. I mean, he alluded to as much publicly on many occasions where he said his job is to be a cheerleader and to spread optimism. Well, that's fine. Yes, that is the president's job. It's also the president's job to protect us.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, it's his job.
It's the president's job to keep people safe.
What's his job to be a leader?
And he failed at that.
Yeah, to be a leader. And some of the audio that was on Anderson Cooper last night on CNN about leadership just really made my blood boil.
Was there a moment in all of this last 2 months where you said to yourself, you know, you're waking up or you're, you know, whatever you're doing, and you say, ah, this is the leadership test of a lifetime?
No.
No.
I think it might be, but I don't think that. All I want to do is get it solved. There are many people that said that to me. They said, you're now a wartime president.
Who said that first to you?
Oh, many people have said
that
to me.
Well, help me. I'd like to make it concrete.
No, I don't like to sit back and think about that kind of thing.
I don't like to sit back and think about that kind of thing.
Well, I don't think he likes to sit back and think, but...
That's true.
Certainly not about that.
But
I mean, there's a reason that he spent almost a quarter of the days of his time in office at his golf courses.
Yeah.
It's because he doesn't like to think about the hard things.
He likes to check
out. That's fine. You know, go be a reality TV star. But when we elect someone to be president of the United States, we're electing someone to protect us and keep us safe and have hard conversations and think about difficult things and make decisions.
Well, there's just never a grown-up in the room.
He's not a grown-up.
Yeah.
Well,
in every sense of the way, he is a petulant child, whether it's not wanting to do his homework, whether it's not wanting to read, whether it's not wanting to make tough decisions, whether it's not wanting to actually fire people. For a guy who is famous for firing people on a reality TV show, this is a guy who doesn't actually like confrontation in many ways. And so when he has to fire someone in his administration, he has his aides come and do it. Literally in every sense of the way, this is someone who bucks responsibility at every single turn.
Hmm. Well, we have more audio from Trump at the ABC town hall. We also want to discuss possibly the first trans member of Congress. We'll have the audio and that conversation with Samuel Garrett-Pate. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
It costs me, with co-pays, I'm still paying almost $7,000 a year in addition to the co-pay. And should pre-existing conditions, which Obamacare brought to fruition, be removed?
No.
Without, please stop and let me finish my question, sir. Should that be removed within a 36 to 72 hour period without my medication, I will be dead.
It's a female voter in Pennsylvania last night during the ABC town hall hosted by George Stephanopoulos, a woman with pre-existing conditions saying, listen, I'd be dead in 36 to 72 hours. She's asking Donald Trump, she's an undecided voter, she's asking him to his face, you know, what he's going to do for her and people like her. And this is rare because he's really been hiding from voters don't agree with him for quite a while. Samuel Garrett-Pate joining us again, our political expert. What's your take on this? And do you think he's willing, now that his numbers are so bad, they're tanking so poorly, do you think he's going to go out to more of these town halls and try to win over undecided voters?
I can't say exactly what he's going to do. I don't think last night helped him in any way. That being said, I don't think many of the interviews he's done, even with, you know, Fox News recently, have helped him in any way. I think they're desperate. They're seeing their numbers tanking, and they're throwing anything at the wall and hoping it can stick. Now, we shouldn't get too confident about it, right? We thought they were, you know, they were tanking in September and October of 2016. You know, boy, things can change really quickly in a few weeks or even a few days in a presidential election. So it's not a time to get complacent, but they are at this state in the race with less than 50 days to go in a really desperate position. You know, I think they thought that Pennsylvania would be theirs again and a key part of the strategy to hold on to their electoral map. But at the end of the day, you know, when you have Joe Biden, a native of Pennsylvania, going out to Pennsylvania regularly, connecting with working families, 200,000 people dead, you know, and people like that woman at the town hall really afraid that the president is going to, you know, if given 4 more years, succeed at getting rid of the Affordable Care Act and thereby getting rid of protections for people with pre-existing conditions.
What's life or death for her? Yeah.
I think the most dangerous, one of the most dangerous lies that this president has told and continues to tell is that he is committed to protecting people with pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
Because he says it constantly. Every time he talks about health care, he says that. When he goes out and he just a couple months ago, I think, issued an executive order saying that people with pre-existing conditions are protected from losing their insurance, which was already the law in the Affordable Care Act.
Well,
he
you
does
know, he was
everything he can to convince people that he is protecting people with pre-existing conditions, but his administration does the exact opposite.
I will say, though, that George Stephanopoulos did do a good job of fact-checking him last night, and I wish we had time for all this audio because we have so much to talk about. But there is a good potential of something good coming out of Delaware.
Activist that won Delaware. You posted about it last night. Sarah McBride,
she won a primary. Yep.
Transgender person elected to the state's General Assembly. So what does that mean for us? Because that's a big deal.
Sure. So Sarah's actually a really good friend. She, for a number of years now, has been the National Press Secretary for the Human Rights Campaign. But we actually met back in 2012, shortly after she came out. We were interns together at the LGBTQ Victory Fund. Fast forward to today, and Victory Fund is you know, strongly supporting her in this really historic race that she's running to become the nation's first trans state senator in American history.
Wow.
Danica Rome, you may remember from Virginia, won her race to be the nation's first openly trans state legislator back in 2017. She was followed in 2018 by a number of other trans candidates who were elected to state legislatures across the country. Danica won re-election last year by a really large margin, actually, which just goes to show that when trans folks are elected to office, they fight for their constituents in a way that gets them reelected. And I think what makes trans folks such great elected officials, such great state representatives, is that most trans people have overcome so much adversity that they know how to help people.
Yeah, they do.
Well, it most
created empathy and compassion in them for others.
Well, Sarah McBride, we need the visibility. We know that we do. We're really proud of Sarah McBride, and we appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much. Now, coming up, The Nanny is going to Lifetime. Find out what role Fran Drescher is taking on in What's Poppin' coming up next.
I'm obsessed with that song that was Naked by Jonas Blue and Max. We've got Max on the program Friday, actually. He's got an album coming out, and we are having a conversation with him about his musical influences, about working with Suga from BTS, which was a huge, huge deal. Can't wait to share that with you on Friday, so make sure you guys tune in for that coming up in just 2 days from now. Now, yesterday on social media, we posed a question to all of our listeners. Would you be open to an open relationship? Now, moving from the Midwest to West Hollywood years ago, I was sort of blown away by the amount of open relationships happening out here within as far as the gay men go within our community. I never really experienced it back in Columbus, Ohio. It wasn't really as much of a thing there. I was also a little bit younger, so maybe I just wasn't aware of it.
Right.
Out here, it sort of sometimes feels like every couple, after a certain age at least, is in an open relationship. Is that the same for lesbians, and am I just completely wrong? Maybe am I completely off base?
I genuinely think it's just up to the person. I don't even know if it matters if they're gay, straight, lesbian, because I got a lot of answers when I took to social media yesterday. I'll say for my own personal self, we've talked about this. Lisa and I thought about opening up our relationship for a threesome. 1 year for her birthday, we went to San Francisco to do so.
That's fun.
Because Lisa said, you don't want to do anybody. You know, I will say in the lesbian circle, it's very small.
Sure.
So you don't want to do it in your own hood.
Totally.
She said, let's go out of town.
Yep.
We don't know anybody.
Yep.
I said, okay.
I feel like that's where it starts. We've had that conversation too. In theory, we're like, well, we go on vacation. What's going to happen is we're going to meet a really, really hot, ripped guy.
Right.
Who is wearing a cute little Speedo, and he's not with anybody. He's completely alone. He's into both of us equally, and then it'll happen.
Right.
It has not happened yet.
Well, we started with imagining, and I imagined this girl in the room with us, and one thing led to another in my imagination. And before you knew it, I was so jealous of this imaginary girl. I yelled at Lisa, and we realized it's not going to work for us.
You were having an argument about a girl who didn't even exist.
A fake person. But I got a lot of answers. Most of the answers were, no, I'm totally jealous. Absolutely not. But this is from Deanna from Chicago. And she said, I was in one, but it's really difficult to juggle multiple deep, meaningful relationships, especially if you have children. I suppose if you were looking for casual secondary relationships, maybe it's easier. I think a lot of people like the idea of it for themselves. But do you like the idea of your partner being intimate with somebody else? Are you okay picturing them snuggling up in bed, sharing their heart and body with someone other than you? If so, you'll probably be fine. If not, be prepared for a lot of challenges.
Okay, I think there's layers to that right there. I think the snuggling up, sharing your heart and body is different. There are different types of open, I think. Like physically, I'm not the type of person who really get jealous. However,
if my
partner emotionally connected to somebody else, then I would probably lose my mind. Also, and I have had a threesome. I talk about it in my book, Flipping the Script, actually. One of my previous relationships, we had some threesomes and kind of opened our relationship up a little bit.
Yeah.
Our therapist said it was something we should consider. Now, looking back, I probably shouldn't have paid that therapist to tell us to open our relationship. But yeah, I think it's possible. And in that scenario, I was actually okay with it all. But I think I was probably not as connected to that partner as I am to my current partner.
Well, that's another answer I got. So Nina in Vegas said, catch me over a year ago, I would have given you a novel on why it worked. However, she just celebrated her year anniversary with her partner now. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no way, listen, we're so in love.
I'll tell you, we celebrated our 8th anniversary yesterday, and I've never been more in love with somebody in my entire life. And I never used to think that monogamy could actually work. But looking, and I don't judge. It works for some people.
Yeah.
For us, the topic of it, in theory, is enough to keep us going. Well, that's hot.
Let's take it another step further. Go ahead.
Oh, I posed a question. I posed this exact question on my social media yesterday. I have over 2,000 responses on this thing. I said, would you ever be open to an open relationship? 24% of the respondents said, heck yeah. 76 said not on my watch.
Yeah, same.
But 24 is actually a little bit higher than I expected.
Yeah, I know. I got a lot of hard no's. I will say that I agree with Nina from Vegas at The Truth. If you're listening in 94.1 HD2, I think it just depends on the person that you're with. I could have maybe had a threesome or opened up my relationships in past relationships. But with Lisa, Lisa's the one for me. I also feel like for me personally, it may taint the relationship. Like, what if it doesn't go well?
What if it goes
and
south?
And then you can never recover from that.
I've had this situation happen in like just casual threesomes in the past that somebody will whisper to me, hey, I just want you and not him. And then that gets real weird. I'll end it on this. Shirazny, I don't know if that's how he pronounced his name. He said, I am not, nor will I ever be, a stereotypical gay man. I am monogamous. I like one partner. One partner is who is faithful, honest, trustworthy, has my back, stands by my side, always full of conversation. That sounds like a great partner. Only things he can hide from me is his birthday and Christmas gifts. Is that so much to ask?
Maybe not. For some, not for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love you, Lisa. It's only me, baby. All right, coming up, a new game we're playing, Hit It or Quit It. We have questions for each other. What could you live without, or what would you choose over the other? We'll be back in 2 minutes.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Oh, Ennis Del Mar, I wish I knew how to quit you. Brokeback Mountain.
I wish I knew how to quit
you. I can tell you, when I saw that movie for the first time, I was an emotional roller coaster. I remember there were a group of people sitting in front of us. They were all in their 80s, like senior citizen couples. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is such a turning point for the movement, right? As a gay man, I'm so proud to be here. And then in the scene in the tent with the spit, you know what I'm talking about. Then my emotions changed drastically. I was just turned on. That movie was hot. But the idea of like quitting something, if you had to quit one thing, it's so fascinating to me. The other day, my partner and I were talking about this, and I'm going to pose my first question to you, Michaela Gordon. He asked me the other day it came up on something, if somebody was offered $1 billion to leave a relationship, would you do it? And he heard that question. He looked at me immediately, of course, and he's like, would you? Like, would you leave me for $1 billion? And without hesitation, I said, absolutely, I would. He's the love of my life. I can't imagine a moment without him. However, $1 billion is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's one person I could love enough to not. But then I turned it around and I was like, well, here's the thing. So you're asking me to choose relationship over $1 billion. You know how many lives I could change with $1 billion? How many homeless I could feed or shelter? But I would use that money
that. If I was going to choose $1 billion over Lisa, I wouldn't use it to help people. Like, I'd be like, I'm rich.
You don't even have a clue what a billion is, though, do you?
You don't know what $1 billion is.
A billion is like $2,000 to you. It's all the same.
I will say, though, as ridiculous as I am, as much as I love like plastic surgery and fake designer bags, and I would like a home.
You could get real ones.
I would not trade Lisa in for $1 billion because I know how to make money. I'm pretty smart. I've always been on my hustle. I would rather just make like a couple million with Lisa and live comfortably than have $1 billion and not have Lisa.
Well, I'm a jerk.
You're literally a jerk.
I'm 8 years and one day into my relationship. I'm like, leave me for $1 billion.
No, to be fair, I asked a few people and a lot of people agreed with you. $1 billion is $1 billion.
What would Lisa do though? Would Lisa leave you?
I don't know.
Or would Lisa tell you to leave for $1 billion?
I don't know what Lisa would do.
I feel like Lisa would say to you, you better leave me for $1 billion.
I feel like Lisa would say, leave me for $1 billion.
Yep.
I would say I don't think she would leave me for $1 billion either because I think it's what's attainable is $2-3 million. That's a lot of money to me still.
Oh, sure. And that's doable.
And I'll then have, yeah. You can
I'll have
that
in my life.
And then you've got your partner.
But a billion's a different ballgame. I would never let my partner leave me for a billion. I'm the opposite. I'd
like, you better
I'd
not
leave him, but I'm like, you better stick around. But we put this on social media yesterday on Channel Q's Instagram. And what are the results, Justin? When it comes to $1 billion or stay with your partner, mm-hmm. what do people choose?
Over 100 respondents, it was close. 53-47. True love wins.
Really?
Yeah!
Wow, well, we got a lot of liars.
Emil, I hope you're not listening.
Listen, that's real easy to respond to as a theory, but you put $1 billion in front of somebody, 100% of them are leaving.
Yeah, but 100%. Here's but to your point with me, what is $1 billion? It's like just too much money. Like, what do you do with all that money? I'd rather have, like, my life, my girl, my family, and then just like a couple mil that we could make the years.
How about this thought then?
Now, this next question, I'm stumped.
All right, we don't have a lot of time, but go for it. You want to do this one?
All right, I'll do it for you.
Okay.
If you could only have these two, you have to choose one or the other. Pizza or sushi?
Ooh, that's hard.
What would you choose?
Ooh, the child in me definitely says pizza.
I know.
But as an adult, I cannot imagine living without sushi.
Okay.
And I feel like it's a little healthier.
Okay, now let me add this.
Okay.
Because I was going to say sushi because I gain weight really easily if I could only live off of pizza.
All the carbs, yeah, totally.
All the carbs. What if you could not gain weight from pizza?
What if they were like all things were equal?
Uh-huh.
Ugh, that makes it a little harder.
I'm going pizza.
I think I'm going sushi. I like to be fancy. Yeah.
Fancy boy.
What did the poll say, Justin?
69-31.
It's pizza, of course.
Pizza wins.
Yeah, if it's 69%, you know it's definitely pizza. Yeah, whatever.
All right, you guys. Well, speaking of relationships, one of our favorite pop stars just filed for divorce yesterday. Did we see it coming? We're talking about it coming up in What's Poppin'. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
All right, Michaela, you're really proud of that tease a moment ago for the story. I'm really excited to let you share this information. It's sad. We're talking about relationships this entire morning and celebrating my 8-year anniversary yesterday. And now this news broke on my anniversary. Michaela Gordon, whops poppin'.
Whops.
See what I did? This is sad that we're making jokes, but.
Well, your favorite wop star.
Wow.
Is filed for divorce. That's right. Cardi B, who we love and is having so much success right now. Unfortunately, yesterday in Atlanta, where your man is from, filed for divorce. Now, we don't have any details yet. What we do know and what sources are saying is that, look, he, Offset, cheated on Cardi while she was pregnant.
Yeah,
we all knew that. And she left him while she was pregnant. And he fought really hard to get her back. He even showed up at one of her concerts while she was singing on stage. Which, if you want my personal opinion, if you ever show up while I'm singing on stage to try to win me back, honey, you better find yourself the door. Don't ruin my performance because you're sorry for cheating and losing me. Like, not my problem.
You messed up. You can wait.
You can wait. However, he did win her back. They did have baby culture, but now 3 years into the marriage, she is citing irreconcilable differences. However, she did say that there is no chance to mend this. They have to go to court in November.
She's mad hurt.
She's big mad because, you know, I've seen a lot of women come forward saying that they've slept with Offset, even including his ex-girlfriend was sending messages to Cardi. And I'll say this, I think a woman can take a lot. I think you can also let go of being cheated on depending on the situation.
Well, we're seeing Khloe Kardashian do it right now.
Absolutely.
Tristan Thompson.
Absolutely. But I think that once you get to a certain point, you got to kind of be responsible. And the thing with Cardi is, I know she wants to be a really good role model for culture, not even for all the women that really look up to her, but for culture. And if your man is cheating on you left and right, when you literally are running that household, I mean, she's the star of the show financially, emotionally. Mm-hmm. She's such a catch. I think she's so funny. She's shown how into politics she is and how important it is to vote and use your voice. And I think that, I think you made a big mistake. And I think that she had to do what she had to do.
If we've learned anything from WAP, it's that she knows how to please
put
a man and keep
down,
a man
baby.
And put it down.
But
and
you know what bothers
me? He still is out there.
And I think it's hurtful that she, when she could have anybody, She really repped her man. Like, you yep. know that. She really respected and repped him and said that Offset, what? She got his tattoo.
I think it's so interesting. We literally just had a conversation about open relationships on the show. If you missed that, download the radio.com app and go take a listen on our podcast. And every relationship is different. If they were in a different scenario, this might not bother her.
Yeah.
But the publicity of it all, the publicness, I guess, of it all, I think it's got to be so hard to take.
But I think it would bother her. No woman wants to know your man's out sleeping around, and no
well,
respectable.
If you're not okay with it, if that's not what the arrangement is in the right. in the relationship.
Yeah, I don't think that's the arrangement though. Yeah. Cardi's kind of a bossy bad girl. All right, well, coming up in our next hour, another pop star has filed for divorce just a few months ago into the pandemic, and it's raising a question: is getting a divorce in the pandemic right?
Yeah.
Is it emotionally
breaking
scarring?
Up in general? Is this the time to do
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So we're going to talk about it. We want to hear from you coming up next.
As I hit my mic, as we come into the segment, here we are. I'm a professional. Do you see it on my ears?
I'm a professional.
It says professional on my headphone, Michaela Gordon. How you doing?
I think you're such a professional.
I'm just so excited. We're into the final hour, and we have a great hour coming
it's
up for our listeners. So I'm thrilled
countdown.
About it. Although, speaking of countdowns, we've got some news and news on the beat in just a moment that this pandemic might not be over when we think it is. It might be lasting until 2022. I don't like that news, but you're going to give that news in just a moment. And then in about 15 minutes from right now, we're talking about breaking up during a pandemic. You know, Kelly Clarkson's going through it right now. She recently compared her divorce in a pandemic to a dumpster fire. But could this be the perfect time to actually get out of a relationship?
We're gonna have that. I don't know. It's tough.
Well, you're not supposed to answer yet, Michaela. The conversation's coming up 15
minutes. I'm so passionate about it.
Well, we're going to share that passion with you in 15 minutes from right now, so stick around. But first, Michaela Gordon, news on the beat, please.
Okay, babe. Well, the coronavirus may have been lurking in the U.S. as early as December. That's a full month earlier than believed by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The study found a significant increase in hospital visits at that time by patients who reported respiratory illnesses. And now we may be living under the shadow of COVID-19 for another year or more. The chief science officer at the World Health Organization said it could be to 2022. Before the world can begin thinking about returning to pre-COVID life. Honestly, I need a minute to process that. I just...
It's a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to have to literally hold my breath.
Well, they're finding spinal cord issues now with the vaccine trial?
Well, no, because a quick coronavirus vaccine check, the National Institutes of Health has expressed concern over a potential side effect in drug maker AstraZeneca's vaccine trial, because that's where they were suffering spinal cord damage. The FDA is weighing whether to resume the trial in the U.S. I will say this. We got a text earlier from somebody that we both know, and they said that they're participating in a vaccine trial for the next 2 years where they get checked once a week.
Once a week for 2 years.
Ma'am, you're not going to find me doing that
at all. That's 104 checks.
Yeah, but also, I don't want my body to be the testing body.
There's no amount of money. We talked about this earlier. I'd take $1 billion to leave my partner of 8 years. I would do that. I want to take $1 billion to be tested in the vaccine trial.
Absolutely not. There's just not enough money. It's too dangerous. And spinal cord damage?
Mm-mm.
Get out of here.
Oh, so your lungs are going to be fine, but you can't walk?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, no, it's not
can't
worth it.
Can't taste anything.
It's like every time you watch those advertisements for drugs, and it's like, possible side effects could be, and it's like the worst things
ever.
And you
like speed through it, but you can still hear
and
it.
And you're like, yeah, I have an achy neck. I'm not going to take this pill if it's going to give me all those things.
Totally. Huh. Totally. All right, well, in other news, officials in Louisville, Kentucky have reached a $12 million settlement with the family of Breonna Taylor in its wrongful death lawsuit. The city has also agreed to sweeping police reform as part of the negotiation. It's one of the largest settlements linked to a police shooting and a historic move for a city marked by grief. However, activists are quick to point out that it does not mean justice has been served, as no officers in the flawed raid on her home have been charged. Meanwhile, the Rochester City Council in New York passed three bills addressing police funding and authorizing an independent investigation into Daniel Prude's death in police custody in March. And in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the fatal shooting of a knife-wielding man over the weekend has been ruled a homicide.
Yo, they tried to hide that video evidence in Rochester for months.
Yes.
And it finally got out.
Well, you know that I saw paperwork. I believe it was Sean King that posted it on his Instagram. And it said Daniel Prude, and it circled, and it said in big letters, make him a suspect.
Of course.
And listen, I was texting with my cousin earlier, who is a police officer, about something totally different that's happening in Vegas. You know, I love the police. I do. That's
sure.
my family
the
members.
The good ones.
But there is a lot of really bad stuff coming out.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you what. You couldn't give me $12 million to keep me shut for anything if you came in and killed one of my family members.
It's the idea of the brotherhood and protecting each other. When that becomes more important to you than the truth,
then
there's a major problem.
Yeah, you're right. All right, you guys, well, let's get into a little weather. It's going to be 93 in Houston, 84 in Kansas City, a high of 87 in Miami, and 71 in San Francisco. Now hit us with a vibe of the day, please.
The universe has an incredible plan for you. You will be overcome. Oh, you will overcome all of your challenges, and you'll be overcome with joy.
Absolutely.
I just added that last part.
Well, it was really nice.
That's improv.
Whoa, are you an actor?
Yeah.
Slow down, Daddy. All right, you guys, well, coming up, is it a good idea to get a divorce during a pandemic? Are your emotions in the right place? We're talking about Kelly Clarkson and her comparing her life to a dumpster. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson. Not only is she my second favorite American Idol of all time behind Carrie Underwood. Just kidding. That was a dig. She's my favorite. I just feel for her. She's going through a divorce right now. And she's one of those people that I always find myself rooting for. However, she did file for divorce from Brandon Blackstock during this pandemic. She compared her life. Well, let's let her put it in her own words.
Has been.
Well, she eventually will.
I mean, it's no secret. My life has been a little bit of a dumpster personally, it's been a little hard. So the last couple months, I've been talking to friends that have been through divorce. I don't know how people go through that without having some kind of outlet, because it is the worst thing ever, you know, for everyone involved.
You can relate to that, I feel like.
I'm going to be super honest for a second and say, you know, me and Lisa have been together for 5.5 years. I'm madly in love with Lisa, and I know that Lisa's madly in love with me. A lot of obstacles hit us this year between the death of my grandma, getting furloughed, having finances cut. We live in 500 square feet. We have our own issues. Our little doggy of 15 years died. And there was a point where we looked at each other and we were like, can we do this anymore?
Yeah, this isn't fun anymore. Yeah.
And it's not fun, and it's hard. And it's going to require work, and do we want to do it? And then, you know, with the help of, you know, just our own group and our really best friends and our getting back in touch with ourselves, we said, yeah, it is. Like, we're okay. It's just a lot.
Well, Mexico and tequila helped a little, too.
And that helped a lot.
Getting away from all this craziness.
But, you know, we had to acknowledge it for what it was. And I think for many people, you're either having a make or break moment. We're 7 months into the pandemic. Mm-hmm. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people are confined to their homes with partners who usually worked outside of the house. So there's a lot of things that are happening that, you know, you say, are you sure you want to get a divorce? Like, are you sure it's not something you can work out?
Well, there are so many factors, especially if you're not Kelly Clarkson, financial factors involved.
Yeah.
It's hard to get a divorce. It's expensive. You're supporting yourself on your own. You might have kids to think about. There's so many different levels to this.
But even when you're a celebrity, like we watched with Tamar Braxton, my own mental health suffered, and hers really did. When you're an entertainer and a performer, you thrive. You have such an outlet when you're on stage in front of an audience singing, when you're in front of the TV screen.
Historically, breakups have been really good for her. She's kind of like Taylor Swift in that way, and she talks about that a little bit. Then I want to get your take, Michaela, because I think you can definitely relate to this.
Next record, this will probably be the most personal one I've ever released. And the whole record is basically every emotion you experience from the beginning of a relationship to the end of what it is now. And it's been very therapeutic for me.
Yeah, you know, I think as artists, I'll speak for myself because I'm a singer first. I love to host this show, but I'm a singer and I'm a songwriter. And I think that as artists, sometimes you want that drama so that you have content. Like in a sick way, you're kind of like, I need things to happen so that I have something to write about or something to relate to.
Well, subconsciously, it's kind of why we pick fights sometimes in relationships,
too. 1,000%.
You want to know that your partner's still emotionally in and they're still willing to fight for something, even if you don't, you might never know it or admit it yourself. But sometimes that's why we create drama.
But I think what happened with Kelly is I think she got stuck up in a cabin with her husband and her kids for a little too long. Because she said, she was like, this is really hard.
What does her cabin look like, though? Is it really a cabin?
I mean, but look.
Really? One room?
It's a little cabin. And she went from hosting the Kelly Clarkson show. She was preparing for her residency in Vegas. She was hosting. I mean, she was judging on The Voice. She was slammed. And then you get put into a cabin, a one-bedroom cabin with your family, having to face...
Oh, that's legit a cabin. Our producer just looked it up. Okay.
You're having to face the truth of the situation of what you and your partner are, of having to come together. And I think that she just realized maybe it wasn't working. However, there's nothing more therapeutic than writing and making an album. I think it's going to be her best album yet because I think it's been really difficult. But I think it goes for a lot of couples. And just from my own personal experience, I do ask people that are listening, if this story relates to you, try to do the work before you're ready to walk out. Mm-hmm. Because I think that unlike any other time that we've ever lived, it's difficult. Everything's against you.
Here's the thing. We went into 2020 as the year of a 2020 vision, perfect clarity. And it many people are like, 2020 is trash. Let's start over in 2021. But actually, it has brought clarity to so many things. Maybe not in the way we thought or the way that we're comfortable with. I've never been happier. I've never been more content in my relationship, more in love. I know that's not true for everybody, but I know exactly what I want moving forward now. And I think that is the silver lining in all of this, good or bad.
For a lot of people, they feel that way. And also, if you don't feel that way, that's okay too. Mm-hmm. And if you do want to leave, walk out now. But if you don't, the work is worth it. It'll make you stronger in the end. I can say that even for
stronger.
Myself.
Isn't that a Kelly Clarkson song?
Stronger! Yeah, it is. Okay. There's also Since You've Been Gone, which she's probably telling her ex-husband now. coming up, speaking of families, we're talking kids and homeschooling. Find out what one little girl brought for her virtual show and tell.
Penny?
Her mother so good. Is probably divorcing her. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Tell me something good.
We'll tell you something good. We'll tell you three different ways. We have three stories to send you off into your day with a little bit of love, light, and hope in your heart. We're going to start off with these young men. Who over in the UK, they had a lemonade stand. They were selling lemonade for $3 a cup, which is pretty expensive, if you ask me. We used to sell it for a quarter, maybe 50 cents when we were kids. But Ayan and Mikhail, they were doing it for a good cause. They were raising funds to help children in Yemen. In Yemen currently, population, I think, 20-some million, and about 80% of people there struggle to just find food and water on a regular basis. So they're trying to help the humanitarian crisis there. Well, they got the attention... 24 million is the population, just to be clear. They got the attention of somebody very, very famous by the name of Angelina Jolie.
Wow.
She couldn't be there to buy lemonade in person, but she sent a note. Listen to the boy's reaction.
Hi, Angelina. I'm Leon.
I'm Mikhail.
And we're the Lemonade Boys. Just wanted to say thank you for donating to our cause. It's really helped us raise more money and awareness.
Oh, their hearts are so sweet. And also, these young boys are so cool in their little soccer jerseys.
I know, cool guys.
So they did not disclose how much money she did actually give them. However, they were able to raise $76,000 so far to distribute to donations to One Nation. It's a UK-based relief and development charity that works with Yemen Appeal, another organization. So my guesstimation, if they've raised $76,000... $75,000 sounds like a nice, normal amount of money that somebody of her caliber would give. Maybe they raised $1,000 on their own and she gave $75,000. Who knows? But
crazy.
Either way, I think it's really cool, though, and classy that she actually did not say how much money she was given. That was kept anonymous.
I love that.
That's kind of even better.
I love that. Okay, well, this story is, oh my God, so heartwarming. We've been talking about TikTok for so long.
Oh, because you're famous on TikTok.
Well, no more famous than this amazing little grandma. So, there was a girl who was talking to her grandma, and out of nowhere, her grandma sort of started coming out to her granddaughter. And she said that when they were to her granddaughter's name is Amy, and her grandma said that she was tired of letting expectations get in the way of living her truth, and revealed that she's actually attracted to women, kind of always has been. Amy got it on TikTok. Let's take a listen to the grandma.
Exactly what you just said.
I said that if I ever got involved with anybody again, it wouldn't be a man. It would be a woman. I do like women. I like women much more than men.
But attractive. Do you like prefer women's bodies?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I think boobs are nice.
She thinks boobs are nice. If you want to see this story, you can head on over to our website, wearechannelq.com. I couldn't agree more with this little grandma. Now, Amy did ask what her ideal woman would be. She said maybe someone in her late 60s. Amy said, you, cougar.
She did call her cougar,
but
for sure.
Grandma said, as of right now, she's just trying to survive, which we are all trying to do. So we get it.
Well, that is so sweet. All right. Since 1993, 48 mammal and bird species, including the scimitar-horned oryx, a California condor, and black-footed ferret have been saved from extinction by conservation actions, a new study has found, and they're continuing to do a lot of really good work. They say that that through their conservation effort, they prevented the rate of mammalian and aviation extinctions from reaching levels 300 to 400% or higher. Some of those that are included were this I don't know how to say this horse, Pirwalski's horse, of which now 760 now roam the steeps of Mongolia, once thought extinct. So conservation efforts, saving lives. Researchers from Newcastle University used four different criteria to measure their conservation actions, compare the number of species listed as extinct in the wild or critically endangered that historically benefited from these criteria. And that number has improved amongst many different species of animals the last few years. So while things are kind of healing, the planet's healing, animals are also coming back, and animals once thought extinct are being saved right now because of this global effort.
To see it.
Well, really good
love
stuff.
Love to see it. All right, you guys. Well, that's the end of our show. Thank you, as always, for listening. We have a great show for you tomorrow as well. We're talking about burying the hatchet. Maybe you have a relationship that you have not been able to forgive and forget, or you don't even know how to start. So we're taking it to our Therapy Thursdays. We can understand that.
Also, don't forget, we have Max on the program on Friday. We've been playing his single with Jonas Blue, Naked, a lot here on Channel Q. It's such a good bop.
What?
He's got an album
Naked?
Coming out. Yeah, he's got an album coming out on Friday. And we have him on the program the day the album drops.
I love it.
Tune in for that as well.
Perfect. All right, you guys. Well, make sure you wash your hands, wear your masks, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.